Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Class is in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Body Bags with Joseph Scott Morgan.
Probably one of the most terrifying books that I read when I was a kid was Amityville Horror, and went on to actually see the movie as well, probably a couple of years later. And you know, it's a weird thing in life that those things many times that scare us the most are not actually real. And as it turned out, what actually happened in that home in Amityville, a mass murder by Ronnie DeFeo, where he killed his entire family, was pure horror. But, you know, flies lighting on people and evil pigs and those sorts of things, blood in the basement and all the other nonsense, it turned out not to be the actual facts. But I got a case today that in its own right is terrifying to me for a number of different reasons. First off, it actually has Amityville plays a part in this case. It occurs on Long Island, and it involves body parts being found. And you know what, my friends? The individuals that perpetrated the crimes here have been cut loose and are out on the streets. And the only thing standing between them and us are ankle monitors. I'm Joseph Scott Morgan, and this is Body Bags. Hey, Dave, I was wondering, wow, I wonder how safe people would feel if they knew that a serial killer or a mass murderer, which are two different things, that have been caught, were released to go back home after they were caught and charged and said, yeah, now listen, sweetheart, put this ankle monitor on. We're going to be watching you.
Be nice.
Yeah, be nice. Mm-hmm. Would you want to live next door to these individuals? I don't know. For me, I don't know. It's kind of a no-brainer, but hey, the world that we live in nowadays, you just never know. And I got to tell you, when I saw this I don't want to shortchange the victims here and their families, because we've got two,
right? At least two.
It takes a lot. Yeah, at least two. It takes a lot to shock me. It really does. This actually did, in fact, shock me a little bit. How about you, buddy?
As I was putting this together and looking through things, the New York Post has been, it's right there on Long Island, so the New York Post is going to be all over this.
Oh, yeah.
But here's what we have, friends. I'm looking at a picture right now, Joe. I've never seen anything like this in the American press on purpose. And it's the picture of an arm.
Yep.
Severed just below the shoulder. It's showing most of the bicep, a tattoo on the bicep going down towards the elbow and then all the way down to the hand. And it's on a tree.
Yeah. Well, hang on.
It's actually, It looks like an area that's been flooded, a flooded out type of an area where the tree, you know, that's what it looks like to me.
Yeah, it does to me too. And you know what this tells me? You know, just if you said, okay, Morgan, Here you go. Here's a photo. We want you to look at the photo. And, you know, from a forensics perspective, of course, look at this photo and give me your first impressions of this, not knowing anything else about the case. If I just saw this image stand alone, and even though part of it's been digitized out or covered digitally, you can still appreciate it. I can see red muscle tissue, as you had mentioned, that's probably part of the bicep, and maybe a bit of blood. Tattoos are easily, you can see the elbow. The elbow's features right quite prominently. And the back of the hand, I can make out what's referred to as the dorsum, which is the back of the hand with this kind of, this tattoo that's very distinctive. You know what I would say? This was something that was randomly dumped. There's been no care taken with this. And we've talked about this before, the memorialization of the dead. And, it's like you've heard the old term honor among thieves.
Right.
Even people that commit homicides many times where they're trying to get rid of remains, they'll go to some length to memorialize the dead. And that means at least dig a shallow grave, put some covering around the body. Man, this looks like someone was driving down the road, even though this is in a park, but it looks like garbage that you would see on the side of the road. Like somebody took a McDonald's cup and just flung it. And this is a human being we're talking about, a part. This hand attached to this arm is a hand that expressed love at some point in their life. It's probably a hand that was held by a mother. It was probably a hand that, you know, thought about what the future held as they flipped through a book and they read about opportunities that might be out there for them, and it's discarded. And it really tells you a lot about who did this, I think. I'd love to know what you think about
that.
The
one thing I noticed, there's not enough blood for me. If it looks like this arm, severed arm, came from someplace else and was put there, thrown there, whatever. It landed in that spot, but it wasn't cut off during this spot. It wasn't like a guy wasn't driving down the road on a motorcycle and had an accident and his arm flew off, because it would have way more blood. Right now, the only blood you see is really on one of the small branches that it's resting on. But all of this began on February 20th. Here, it began with high schoolers, okay? They are not accused of any wrongdoing. I want to throw that out there, because these high school students are now probably never going to get over this. They're going to be telling this. This is a marker in their lives right now.
Yeah.
And whatever, there's going to be that marker before the body parts and after the body in their life.
Yep.
And I hate that for them because nobody deserves to have this as a marker in their life. But February 29th, a group of Long Island high school students found a left arm on the side of a Babylon Road on their way to school. The arm was discovered just before 9 a.m. According to police, as officers investigated the crime scene, a canine unit located a leg sticking out of a pile of leaves in a wooded area not far from where the arm had been found. They're looking around trying to figure out what they have here, and they're out there all day. Later in the day, early evening, Suffolk County detectives find what appears to be a woman's head, leg, and arm in the same park where what they determined earlier were male human remains. I don't know if we were clear on that earlier, but the tattoos kind of gave it away. I've never seen those tattoos on a girl's arm. The body parts likely belong to the same woman, but they can't even guarantee that at the time they were finding all of them. They're going on the assumption, you know, they've got body parts. Now, the medical examiner's office is looking into this, of course, autopsies being done and things like that. The police department is treating the investigation as a homicide. But what Joe alluded to in talking about this, about how you would feel about living next door to somebody that had been accused of a heinous crime, had been being let out. They don't have a motive. They have body parts. And they have suspects. They have four suspects, Joe. These four suspects actually were living together. Three of them had been living together for some time. And had actually rented an apartment recently. The fourth person was actually homeless. And she just apparently joined them for this part of the shenanigans. So we have Stephen Brown, 44, from Amityville. Jeffrey Mackey, 38, of Amityville. And Amanda Wallace, 40, of Amityville. Then we have homeless Alexis Nieves. She's 33. Those are the four people who were charged. I don't know what crime they were. Well, I know what charge. I don't know. I'm thinking they were charged with a crime that caused body parts to end up in a park, but they're not in jail, Joe.
Yeah, I don't understand this, that the police had sufficient evidence to tie them back to this. And boy, do they have evidence. And we'll get into that. But I got to hang back for a moment here and kind of kind of take this all in. How in the world can you be an official that is on the bench? You've either been appointed or elected on the bench to rule, to make rulings about cases, the determination of the case, the disposition of the case, and you're not going to, this is, okay, let me,
I can explain it.
Yeah. Well, hang on. I rewatched. I got to tell you this. I rewatched Cool Hand Luke recently.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, no, this is going back, isn't it? And you know what?
What we're dealing with here.
Yeah. Failure to communicate. That's what's in that movie. Paul Newman, who played Luke, he was charged. For criminal mischief and theft, and it was a felony. It's a low grade
parking meter.
Cutting off the heads of parking meters. All right, and he was doing hard time on a county labor on a labor farm. All right, and I'm thinking, okay, how far have we come at this point in time where we've got these individuals that are all living together in what turns out, Dave, to be a house of horrors.
Oh, buddy.
And you've got human remains that you've got a double decapitation. You've got the limbs all cut off, and they're dispersed over a rather broad area, you know, which goes to, you know, in two separate parks, essentially, in this, you know, wherever you can have actual rural area in Long Island. And you know, like you said, these kids came across it, but you know, who is this person that sits on the bench and says, you know what, gee whiz, I think these people would be fine candidates to kind of, what's it called, ROR, release on their own recognizance, if you will, right, and put an ankle bracelet on them to make sure that you can monitor them. You know, how do you do that? And if somebody has, okay, if somebody has breached this, it has breached this relative to, they've gone through this veil in their mind where they think that it's okay to kill someone, two people, and then take a meat cleaver and a number of other instruments and dismember their bodies and chop them up. Who is this person that cuts these folks back loose out in society?
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You know, they've apparently, in this case, Dave, they've got the two victims here. They've got them identified to a certain degree, which is a Herculean task in and of itself when you're talking about dismembered remains. We do have heads to go on. We obviously, as we mentioned earlier, we have a hand. As it turns out, that hand belongs to a gentleman that had done as they say in New York, had done a 20-year turn upstate. He was in Attica for 20 years, and he has apparently turned his life around. But I watched the interviews, and just let me, and I urge anybody within the sound of my voice, please do yourself a favor and go listen to this man's family as they're leaving the courtroom. I cannot even begin to fathom the level of dismay and shock that they must have had when they're standing there in that courtroom. They know that their loved one, who has fought this fight to get out of prison, do his time, he did his time, he's kind of turned his life around. They're sitting there and they're thinking, oh my gosh, these people, these butchers have been cut loose back out on society. I can't even begin to understand the place that the family is in right now.
The one thing that explains this. Now, just to be very clear, a couple of the names we're going to mention have been in the news a lot lately because of the Long Island serial killer case, the Gilgo Beach murders, because Ray Tierney is the prosecutor. He's the guy that we have talked a lot about.
Yeah, like him a lot.
Yeah, he's done a lot of really good things, and he's the one who is in the middle here. Here's the reason they were able to get to be let out. They have restructured bail reform in New York. In 2019, they changed the laws because they said there were too many people. It became a political football of racism, saying there were too many people who couldn't afford to get out on bail were being held, you know, because, and
we're not talking about people throwing bricks or storefront windows here.
Here's the thing. The charges were not murder. They did not charge these four people with killing anybody. They don't have the proof. And that's what Ray Tierney said. He said, I can't charge them with something I can't prove.
Right.
And he charged them with everything he feels like he could prove, which is, you know, chopping up their bodies and things like that, which is all horrible enough. I mean, they were all charged with hindering prosecution, tampering with evidence, and concealing a human corpse. But he couldn't prove who killed them yet. And I say yet because they're still investigating it.
Yeah.
But they
did and to be fair. Yeah. And to be fair, you're right. You're absolutely right, Dave. The Emmy, and again, this goes back, you know, kind of into my world where you have all of these parts, and you know, the sum total of the parts are going to tell you the story,
right?
You know, you're hoping to get answers, and you know, I think that one of the things that you know that the Emmy is faced with, first off, when you have a dismemberment case and you have parts that are dispersed, you. Literally what we will do in the morgue is that we will lay the parts out in an anatomically correct position on the table. Hmm. And from a demonstrative perspective, when you move forward with a case like this in court, it's, as you can imagine, it's very striking to see, if you'll just imagine, and this is where we kind of take the photograph, we'll take the dismembered body that's laid out in anatomically correct position, and then we'll take a shot from above. And there's a little gap that's left between the points where the body has been cut. And you talk about a powerful image for someone to see, because they can see the exact locations where some tool was applied to the body. To, you know, undertake this ghastly event. And it really, you know, it really strikes home. But here's the thing. This is what the ME is left with. It would seem, at least that to their benefit, it would seem at least these remains are relatively fresh. Okay. So they're in the process right now of trying to determine the actual cause of death in here. Because, you know, we're talking about two bodies. I can't imagine that these individuals just fell over dead of natural causes. All right. And they decided, we need to get rid of the bodies.
You know, it's interesting. I want to ask you something about when you put the bodies back together for just a second.
Yeah, sure.
One of the historically strong cases in crime that is still an unsolved murder is the case of the Black Dahlia out in California.
Yeah.
And there are many people who believe that a doctor or somebody with medical training actually did, kill or drain her body in a bathtub. And then, because in that case, if I'm not mistaken, wasn't her body laid out in an anatomy? It was, even though it had been severed and cut up, that it was still laid
and mutilated. Yeah, it was. And it was separated. And you know, those images are out there, and you can tell, you know, one of the things that we look for, if you just think about the word margin, one of the things that we talk about are the margins of the cuts. And when you look at the margins of the cuts, you begin to get an idea as to what type of instrument was used. And let's say, for instance, if for those of you, our friends out there that have never held a scalpel or handled a scalpel in any way, the edge on that on a scalpel, you know, we use it, obviously it's used in surgery, we use it in the morgue, is so very sharp. I can't even begin to describe. I've cut myself multiple times in the morgue with scalpels over the years. And they are so very, very sharp that when you cut with a scalpel, the margins are so uniformed. I mean, and they have to be, particularly if you're talking about if a surgeon was wielding the knife, as they say, you have to be so exact with this. So you compare that bit of work to what you would see, say, for instance, in this case, where you go to this apartment that these people are living in, Dave, in Amityville, and I think you told me, and I'm pretty sure I read it, didn't they find a meat cleaver there?
You know, Joe, because we don't know motive, we don't know a lot about this story. We do know, and what caught our attention, of course, body parts being found. And I think of the high school students, and I think of the detectives, and I think of the families, as you mentioned, of these two people who are dead. They haven't given us their names yet, but they have given us information. A 58-year-old woman, 53-year-old man were the victims. And they know that they had lived together in a residence. They don't know the last time they lived there, but they're working on notifying family. And before they release the names here, because there's too much they don't know. And again, you've got the four people accused of tampering with evidence, hindering prosecution, concealing a human corpse. And you've also got, again, you mentioned it, we've got a meat cleaver, and we have butcher's knives. Blood was found all over this apartment where they served a search warrant in Amityville. Now, the police have to know certain things before they can get a search warrant, and we are not privy to this information because, again, now we're going back to, because they found body parts, but the body parts are found. Not all the body parts are found. There are still body parts out there that they, investigators, are looking for. They've been looking in ponds nearby. They've been looking all over this many miles of area looking for human body parts. We don't even know if there are more than two people. We only know they found two heads.
Yeah. And here's the key. What we're looking for here, still at this point, I've talked about arms, kind of touched on legs and talked about heads. But at this point, we still don't have torsos.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or a ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Health Aid Kombucha.
Dave, one of the things I enjoy about having you on the show with me is that I feel as though sometimes I'm informing, and maybe even to a certain degree, I'm not trying to sound arrogant, but teaching, because you came back at me with something just a moment ago in your initial assessment where you said, I didn't see any blood. And for me, you saying that is a recognition of the fact that you know something has occurred somewhere else, and you even said that. Mm-hmm. I picked up on that. So, yeah, there's learning going on. I hope for all our friends there's some learning going on, because I got to tell you, I learn from you every time we sit down.
It's amazing. It's amazing the things that I picked up. And by the way, from those of you who reach out, who have listened to the show and things like that, you know, at CrimeCon, Joe, you and I had the opportunity to do an entire show in front of an audience about bodies being cut up. We did several different topics that day, or several different cases that day.
Yeah,
and there were all the people being cut up. And I remember at the time thinking, you and I both have said, this seems to be a really weird trend. There are a lot of these. But at least in those stories, we had the complete picture. We, you know, whether it was somebody trying to pull off the perfect crime, which they've been doing that since Leopold and Loeb, or you've got the angry man who wants to get rid of every, you know, there are all kinds of reasons. But now we actually have four people who police know had something to do.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's the striking thing about this. Four people. It's one thing if you have an individual, you talked about the, whatever that case is, the Black Dahlia, you know, that people have gone on for, and they've always singled in on one guy.
Right.
How many cases? I'm having a moment of clarity here. I really don't recall another case that has involved four people involving the dismemberment of two fellow human beings. This is an outlier that we're talking about here. What could compel four people to want to participate in this kind of behavior?
And
it's not
really
like they're sitting down and they're playing gin rummy together. Maybe they were dismembering. Yeah, never know. They're dismembering mm-hmm. two fellow humans here.
Right.
You know, where do you get to that point?
I was thinking that based on the fact they didn't charge them with killing them because they can't prove who killed them or why. And I've wondered this often. I've actually asked you about things, Joe, along the way. Because I wonder when police call you. I mean, I know you have to be called in when they don't know what has happened, you know, to the person. You know, I don't know how this person died. I don't know what led up to it. I don't, you know, in this case, all we have is the end. We don't have when the crime took place. We don't have where it took place.
Hmm.
We don't know where these people were last seen. We don't know. Did they have a relationship with the people who are now charged with cutting up their bodies? And we have the piece of evidence that police obviously knew enough to be and had enough info, enough evidence to go before a judge and get a search warrant to search the home rented by three of the four people charged in this crime. And we know that they found the butcher knife. We know that they found a meat cleaver, and we know they found a lot of blood.
Yep.
So much blood. And I have to know this. I have to ask you this, Joe. According to investigators' paperwork, the drains in this house that mm-hmm. they rented, and they'd only been there a few weeks. They hadn't been there long. The drains had so much blood and human matter in them that none of the drains in the place worked. They were all clogged with what I would assume would be evidence.
Oh, yeah, you bet. And let me tell you what I think, at least, for whatever that's worth, you know, that in $1.90 in some places get you a cup of coffee. But
wow. Give us the directions. We need the directions for that $1.90 coffee.
Yeah, I know. That's a cheap cup of coffee, isn't it? Mm. You need to hang out in the places I hang out.
Yeah, buddy.
So, yeah, let me kind of tell you what would have happened in my experience. When you walk into an environment like this where you suspect, and this is kind of interesting. How did they connect the dots between these four people and these remains that they have some specific information relative to this. There's some kind of association that's going on here that, to their credit, they haven't revealed. I don't want them to reveal it until they're ready. But if they get enough data to go before a magistrate or a judge and get a warrant, when they go into that house, you know, all bets are off at that point. They're going to be very careful. There will be limited number of people within that domicile that will be examining that environment. You're not going to have people traipsing in and out of there. And one of the reasons is that, you know, they found the body parts before they got the warrant for the house, right? So they right. know they're going to deal with a horror show here, going back to, you know, what we said yeah. about Amityville. And so with that said, first off, they're going to photograph everything within that house, room by room by room. And then my suspicion is that they're going to, if they see one drop, and remember what we do at a scene, Dave, with forensics examination of blood, or what we suspect to be blood, we do not look at a brown spot or a red spot and say, yes, that's blood. There's like a four-step, three-step process in some cases that we go through in order to confirm that that is, in fact, blood. But all it would take in proximity to that area is one droplet, and we would be able to identify it on the scene with a what's called a presumptive test, collect samples of the visible blood that we have, and assuming that some kind of butchery has taken place in this environment, they're going to go in and probably apply an agent like Luminol or Blue Star.
That does it really light up like it shows on TV shows and things?
It does. Luminol only lasts for just a brief time, and you have to have your camera ready.
Didn't know that.
This happens. Yeah, and you have to snap it really quick. Blue Star is a bit different, works on the same principle. And even if you're making an effort to clean up, doesn't work. You know, there have been cases where people have butchered people years and years prior to, and it still luminesces when you apply this stuff. It's a heck of a substance, and it's a real tool for the toolbox for the investigators and for forensics. You can actually use a luminesced area where you've applied one of these substances in order to appreciate the blood dynamic, how that blood landed in that particular spot. Was it low velocity, medium velocity? Was it high velocity? Was it just kind of passive dripping, like you would stand there with a butcher knife in your hand and just kind of drips? You can still appreciate that, which is fascinating to me. But here's the thing. When an individual is in the middle, now first off, we have to assume that the perpetrators of something like this have never been around this type of horror. So they're in a frenzy, right? They get into this thing, and I think a lot of people think this is going to be easy, and it ain't. Because now, with every strike that's being made with this instrument, whether you're drawing a knife across a leg, or you're slamming down with a meat cleaver on a particular area, you're generating, with every pass of that blade, you're generating more and more evidence every single time. And what they would find out very quickly, Dave, is that there would be a tremendous amount of seeping blood. Now, I'm not talking about blood spraying. It's not like in a horror movie where someone has, you know, nicked an artery, you know, and it's like blasting. Right. It's not like that.
Okay.
You're talking about something that is going to drip and seep out of these severed limbs. And brother, they're going to have a damn mess on their hands, that, and they're not going to know what to do with it. So what would you normally do in an environment, in a household environment where you've got a mess? Well, you're going to run to the sink. Yeah. You're going to rub to the tub.
You take them to the tub and get them in there, and exactly.
You're going to go to the toilet. Let me tell you what I've been present when this happens, dude. First off, the water of that house is shut off, period. Okay. That sink, the drain trap, which is the curved pipe beneath the sink, the tub and the trap in the tub go into the kitchen as well, that sink and the trap in there, brother, that's coming out. That's coming out. And they're going to put that in the back of the van. In some jurisdictions, I don't know, maybe they just took the traps out. But, you know, I've been in houses where we've removed the tub. We've taken all the plumbing, that immediate plumbing. You don't take out all the plumbing, obviously, sure. But you take all of that out. Why is that? Well, okay, if what you're saying here, and I think I'm reading it right, that the thing would not drain. You cannot get, let's say, for instance, a decent picture looking from the underside of that tub and up into that drain in the floor. It's really an impossibility. So if you take that thing out and you look down, it's kind of the long axis, and you can shine light in there. You can actually see. And what they're doing is they don't have congealed blood in there. What they're dealing with is human muscle and skin tissue, and that's clogging up, and it's not going anywhere. Dude, you could have the strongest Drano in the world, and you might be able to get it to move a bit, but it's going to be very, very difficult. I've worked cases where people have tried to flush body parts down toilets as well. And, you know, I've had other things flush down toilets as well, with spontaneous births, you know, that have occurred. Right. And we've had to recover that, the fetus as well. And so it's not something that's eaten. That's generally what gives the person away. And so they're going to have this incredible volume of evidence in this case moving forward. The big question, though, is that did they put anything into these drains that could give them an indication as to what actually happened that night? And why, where are the torsos? You know, you think about that. It's one thing to remove an arm or leg, but the torso is the most difficult piece to all of this. And I'm not trying to be smart aleck by saying that, but it is the biggest issue here.
There is one interesting sidebar, Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
Back to the arm very quickly. We had the first arm we described, the picture that was right in the New York Post, and then we had the tattoo.
Yeah.
Well, the tattoo was left intact. The arm was severed, and it didn't look like it was a very clean severing based on what I saw. But
right,
you know, that hand had no fingertips. They'd cut the fingertips off that hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, when you're going to go to that type, I'm going to assume cutting off somebody's fingertips is to get rid of their fingerprints so they can't be identified, but you leave a tattoo. Now we've got missing torsos, and we found two heads. We found arms, legs. I don't know all the parts we found, but we have not found the bulk of the body here.
No,
we've got drains that are too clogged up.
Right. And as far as eradicating evidence to try to, you're cutting fingertips off. You can still get palm prints, but what's your purpose in doing that? Because you've cut the heads off and the heads have been found. So you're going to have dentition. Dave, I worked a case one time where I had two homeless guys that lived in a homeless camp. One guy murdered the other one by cutting his throat, I think. And he cut the guy's hands off. And if I remember correctly, attempted to pull his teeth and threw him in a creek bed and left his wallet in his back pocket. And, you know, so you're not dealing with the intelligentsia here. All right. So, yeah, if you're going to in for a penny, in for a pound, why are you not going to go to these larger steps in order to, you know, make any evidence of these individuals go away, that you had any contact with them? Now you're doing this in an environment that's going to directly tie back to you, and it's going to lead the police to you, and they're going to be able to figure this narrative out, Dave. But however, I think that the tale is still left to be told. And I can promise you, my friends, here on Body Bags, we're going to revisit this case. We're going to talk about it a little bit more, because right now we're still waiting on the cause of death on not one, but two individuals that have been dismembered and tossed away. I'm Joseph Scott Morgan, and this is Body Bags.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid Kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.